week. There's 10 questions from today. Just read them every week. Let's see your Bibles. Word. See your pens. Pens. Lesson plan. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Today we are going to finish chapter 3 of Genesis. Last week we studied the first half, Satan's number one weapon. If you weren't here, get the tape. The devil's number one weapon, every time he entices you and tricks you and deceives you into sin, he lies to you. You believe the lie that you will not have any consequences, and you believe the lie you'll be like God, knowing good and evil, being able to control your life. So today we're going to look at the second half, the consequence, the punishment, the curse that God placed on the earth and on man as a result of sin. And what we're going to propose today is that there are seven components, and probably more, but there are seven components of the curse that we're going to look at today that Jesus nailed to the cross in the Passion of Christ. When you saw the movie. If you saw the movie, say amen if you saw the movie.
Amen.
If you saw the movie, you were going to see and remember seeing all these things we're going to look at in that movie. Now, we're not saying, this is in the movie. The movie copied the Bible, not the other way around. But the movie was biblically accurate, and we're going to look at that today. And what we're going to see today is that as a result of sin, God cursed the earth. He cursed animals, specifically the serpent. He cursed man, woman, and he cursed man. And we're going to see components from every one of those cursed items on Jesus. That he died and paid the price for the complete curse of everything. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. There's going to be a new relationship between animals and animals with each other and animals with man. There's going to be a new relationship between man and his wife and man and God. But we're going to see that all these seven things that God that were a result of the curse, and a curse is a pronouncement of evil and all harm with the power to fulfill it. So when God cursed the earth, he had the power to fulfill it, and we're going to see that. When he cursed woman in childbearing and put a penalty on childbearing and pain in childbearing, did he fulfill it? Amen. That's why you have epidurals, try to erase the curse. So what God did is he says, okay, you got epidurals, I'm going to not dilate you. So you feel pain before you get that needle in your back. Anyway, I've been there. My wife's been there. I was watching. I was praying. Let's look in the Bible. Chapter 3, verse 11. Let's start at 11. We'll start where we ended last week. Adam and Eve sinned. They ate from the forbidden fruit. Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded that you should not? The man said, the woman whom you gave me of the tree, and I ate. And the Lord said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are more cursed than any of all the cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go. You shall eat the dust all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head. You shall bruise his heel. Didn't you see Jesus step on the head of the snake? That's that right there. I mean, in the end, when Satan is thrown into the lake of fire, that's the ultimate. But that's what that was representing in the garden. He stepped on his head. But look in your notes. First, it says, a curse represents God's judgment of sin. A curse represents God's judgment of sin. Let me read Galatians 3:13 to you. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. If you remember, when Jesus was on the cross, the wood, he said right before he gave his spirit up, right before he died, he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have thou forsaken me? The Bible says when he was on the cross, he became sin. He who had no sin became sin for us. See, the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the penalty of sin is death. Jesus was dying for all of our sins collectively before him and after his death. All the sins that would ever be committed, he was dying for, and he became the curse for us on the cross. Cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. He who had no sin all that time, the sin now was imputed or credited to him. Remember that word imputed? You get something credited to you. When you put money in the bank, they credit you. They don't put your physical cash in a box with your name on it. They credit your account with the cash deposit. The curse and the penalty of sin was credited to Christ on the cross. That's why he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you turned me into sin? He had to. He had to pay the price. So when God cursed the earth and cursed woman and childbearing and cursed the ground and cursed the snake, that curse, that pronouncement of judgment and harm, Christ says, I am now paying the price for the curse. And we're going to see him pay for every aspect of it. Look at your notes. It says next, the heel of the woman's seed and the serpent's head shall be bruised in the eternal conflict. Yeah, they nailed Jesus in his feet, but he said he's going to crush Satan on his head. Turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. The Dead Sea Scrolls was an ancient copy of the book of Isaiah that was found in Israel. And before they found it, the Jews, well, our Jewish tour guide told us this when we were there, told us that they believe that Christians inserted Isaiah 53 into the Dead Sea Scroll, into the book of Isaiah, because it so accurately depicts what Christ suffered, how Christ suffered on the cross. And they said Christians put that in there just so they could say that Jesus was part of the Old Testament, and because it was so accurate, and they put it in there after the fact because it was so accurate of what Christ went through. And then they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, and there Isaiah 53 was just the way it is in this book, and they couldn't explain it other than it was accurate. But in Isaiah 53, look at verse 5. We're looking for the word and how Jesus was bruised. Verse 5, it says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was on him, and by his stripes we were healed. If you see the movie, as a matter of fact, if you didn't even see the movie, you'll see a picture of Christ, not a picture, a depiction of Christ on the cross, and he has stripes all over his body. You remember the stripes? Where were the stripes from? From him getting whipped. The Bible says right here that we were healed by his stripes. He was getting beat for our sin. When you watch that movie, I've seen it twice. I probably will not see it again. It is so hard to watch him get beat the way he got beat. Over and over, to see human beings treat another human being like that. And when I'm watching this, something came to my mind, especially the first time, is thinking, this is how much God hates sin. You think that your sin is no big deal. He was getting beat for all that sin. Matter of fact, if you remember, he got beat with the rods, and he was on the ground. He was handcuffed to this block of concrete. It was a rock. And the guys who beat him were leaning over, huffing and puffing, because it was so much hard work to beat him. And then Jesus stood up and said, bring it on. Why'd he stand up? He says, listen, that was only worth the sins up until this point. I still got a whole lot of more sin I got to pay for. I gotta die. I gotta take it all. I can't let any sin go unpaid for. By his stripes we were healed. Look at verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. All of our sin was laid on him on the cross. Verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers, it was silent. He opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich at his death. And he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Look at verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief, and when you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days. He was bruised for us. In Genesis 3, yes, the seed Christ is going to be bruised. He was bruised. He's going to be bruised. There's going to be enmity, war between the seed Christ and the devil and the snake. And he's going to crush his head. If you look in your notes, in your lesson plan, it should say Romans chapter 16, verse 20, not 2. You can look it up later, but it should say Romans 16, verse 20, not 2. It says that he will crush Satan's head. Look in your notes. It's the third thing. Women will have sorrow in childbearing. Now, last week I talked about my son's head. Many people say, well, you know, you talk about your son. My son's fine. He likes for me to talk about his big head. He really does. He laughs. He always said, Dad, talk about my head. Talk about my head. So don't be concerned about my son's self-esteem. He's fine. For reals. But when my wife was in labor with that big head, she was in pain. Well, she was in labor 49 hours. They couldn't give her an epidural for 28 hours or something because she had not dilated enough. So she was in pain all night long. It was more than a day before they can give her the epidural. God said, ladies, sorry. You are going to have sorrow and pain in childbearing. Look at Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53, verse 3. It says, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Jesus is a man of sorrow. Back up. Before there was sin, there was no sorrow. Before there was sin, there was no grief. There's no death. That was a consequence of sin. Sorrow. Being bruised. There was no death. Animals wouldn't attack each other. Animals wouldn't attack man. Before sin, none of that would happen. As a result of sin, there's death. There's evil. And part of that is sorrow. The Bible says Jesus is a man of sorrow, acquainted with our grief. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:15, matter of fact, you want to write that down in your notes. Hebrews 4:15 says, we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. But he was in all points tempted as we are and or were, and he had no sin. He never sinned. What does that mean? Is that, hey, he lived 33 years as a man. He had little girly girls trying to, you know, get his phone number. Think about how much of a gentleman Jesus must have been. He had brothers and sisters. He had to go to school. He had a business, people trying to rip him off. He had to deal with all that stuff. He had a best friend betray him with a kiss. He had another best friend deny him 3 times while he was getting beat in one night. And he feels your pain. You know, if you have a kid and your child is hurt by another friend or hurt by a teacher or some, I shouldn't say teacher, but hurt by some circumstance in their life, it hurts you. Amen? Imagine how much it hurts God when you hurt. He feels your pain more than you feel your child's pain. He's a God of compassion. Pity looks down and says, I feel sorry for you. Compassion gets down and says, I feel with you. Imagine how much pain he feels of yours. He feels all of our pain. When women are raped, it kills him. When children are molested, it hurts him. When people are ripped off, lied, cheated, when Christians backstab each other and gossip, it hurts his heart. Grieves his heart. So he took all that sorrow. He said, Lord, give me all the sorrow. Let me pay the price for all the sorrow of the world. Look in your notes. The curse on the earth will be represented by thorns. Turn to Genesis 3, and then we'll go to Matthew. Genesis 3 again. Genesis 3, verse 17. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded that you, saying, you shall not eat. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field, and in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you till the ground, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Three things we just saw. Thorns and thistles and weeds are a result of the curse. In sweat he shall eat from the earth. Before, he didn't have to work that hard. It was just abundant. It was abundant. There were no weeds, no thorns. The soil was rich. Stuff just grew. He was just coming in to eat. Now he has to sweat and work and get the weeds out. And if you're ever working in your yard and you got weeds in your yard and the ground is hard, where I live, it's all rock. It's like half rock, half dirt. And for us to plant grass when we moved into our house, we had to take all the rock and dirt out and bring dirt in. We couldn't even use the dirt that was there. And so when you're doing that, think of Adam. Man, Adam, I can't stand you. Get mad at him. But look at Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew 27, verse 27. Says the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered a whole garrison around him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. Verse 29. And when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put on his own clothes, and led him away to be crucified. Whether they knew the thorns represented a curse or not, everybody knows thorns aren't a good thing. But God cursed the earth, and as a result of the curse was thorns. You know what Jesus on the cross had thorns on his head? You know what he was saying? I have, if you're going to call me king, I'm king of the curse. My crown is a curse. My crown represents the curse. I'm nailing it to the cross. I'm bringing the end of the power of the curse on you. The sting of death to a Christian has no sting. When a Christian dies, a Christian goes to heaven. You die without God, you got trouble. The Bible says the penalty of sin is death. That death is not only physical, it's spiritual. And that spiritual death is separation from God. You don't want to die without God. And Jesus says, I will take on me and nail it to the cross, the curse and the consequence of the curse, which is eternal separation from God. And I will offer you salvation from eternal separation from God. Forgiveness of sin. That's the whole reason he died. So he's not only paying the price for us, but he's saying to you, I will offer you a free pass. All I need is your heart. All I need is your life. I'll pay the price. I pay the price for all your sin. I pay the price completely for the entire curse. Even the curse on the ground, I put it. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. No more weeds, no more thorns. When you pick up a rose and prick your hand, just remember the curse. That pretty flower was not supposed to have a thorn. It was supposed to be just thornless, I'll say that. I don't know what it's supposed to look like, but it wasn't supposed to have a thorn. He died and paid the price for that curse. Look in your notes. It says also, man will eat as a result of the sweat on his face. Man will eat as a result of the sweat on his face. Turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. In the first 10 minutes of the movie, you saw this verse fulfilled. Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke, verse 22, chapter 22. Verse 44. It says, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I don't know if you've ever sweat blood, but if you have, it was because you were under incredible, intense pressure, pain, anguish, stress, sorrow, that blood vessels in your forehead broke. And when you saw Jesus in the garden, in the movie, I don't know if you realize it was blood. It wasn't from being sprinkled. He was sweating blood from right there. You know what he told Adam? From the sweat of your brow, you're going to till the ground. Before that, you can just casually walk through, just pick fruit, don't have to do anything. It's paradise. Jesus was praying, carrying the burden of the anticipation of paying for our sin, so heavy that his blood vessels in his forehead burst and he sweat blood. The penalty of sin is death. And you know what the Bible says? That the life is in the blood. His blood was sinless. He was shedding his blood even in the garden when he was praying for us. He wasn't bleeding because he just finished working out. He was bleeding from the anguish of our sin. It's right there in the movie. It's right there in the Bible. The third one. Look in your notes. Death will return man to dust. As he told Adam, from dust you came, from dust you shall return. Turn to Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is also the depiction and a description of the crucifixion. Not only the crucifixion in general, but the crucifixion of Christ and what happened and what he said and what people were doing at his cross when he was crucified. And what's ironic about Psalm 22 is that they describe the crucifixion and they wrote it 1,000 years before the crucifixion was even invented. It was written in the Bible. Why? Because God doesn't live in time. He understands what's going to happen before it happens. Matter of fact, if you look at Psalm 22, verse 1, this is not in your notes, this is just a little nugget for free. You know what it says? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? When Jesus said that on the cross, all the Bible students knew Psalm 22. He's fulfilling Psalm 22. Look at verse 14 and 15. Verse 14 and 15 says, I am poured out like water, and my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. Remember how thirsty he was? And you've brought me to the dust of death. You brought me back to death, to the dust of death. From dust man came, from dust man will return. Jesus says, I'm going back to the dust, even though we know he rose from the dead. Look in your notes. Number 7, God himself will provide a blood sacrifice. Now, before you turn to Mark, turn back to Genesis chapter 3. Turn back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. He called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, matter of fact, if you look at verse 6 and 7, it says when they saw that the tree was good for food, desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate and gave it to her husband, and he also ate. And then the Bible says in verse 7, and their eyes were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they'd sew fig leaves together as coverings. Read that real quick. Just look at that real quick. I just want you to see that. Verse 7, it says, their eyes were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves and made themselves coverings. What they were trying to do is they realized that they sinned. They tried to cover their sin with leaves. They tried to cover their sin on their own. That's religion. Religion is, I'll do this and make up for my sin and be a good girl or a good boy and God will bring me to heaven because I've been good. That's religion. It never works. Don't waste your time. Relationship is that God provides forgiveness for your sin on his own. Look at verse 20. And Adam called his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. Verse 21. And for Adam and for his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin for them. What did God do? He killed an animal, he shed blood, and paid the price for sin by the shedding of blood, by the taking of a life. In Leviticus, when we get to the book of Leviticus, which is the third book of the Bible, we're going to see God establish a law. Leviticus is the law of the Levites, the law of the Israel nation, that here's how you get your sin forgiven. You kill an animal, and you put the blood on the altar, because where there is no bloodshed, there is no forgiveness of sin. We see that starting right here. God says, I'm going to kill an animal right now, and I'm going to give you tunics of skin, but the blood of shed of this animal is what's paying for your sin. Now, you may say, well, I don't really believe that. I don't know if that's really what it's saying. Well, one, not only is it consistent through the whole Bible, in Genesis chapter 4, the very next chapter we're going to look at, Cain and Abel. Cain brings a sacrifice to God from his crops, stuff he grew. Abel brings one of his flock, something he killed. God rejected Cain, because Cain brought what he wanted to bring. Abel brought what he learned from his parents. Bring an animal, shed blood. And God said, I accept that. You can't bring God whatever you want. Okay, God, I just go to church on Easter and Christmas and maybe Good Friday. I'm going to put $2 in the plate. Hook me up with heaven. It don't work that way. God said, no, you're going to pay with your life. Someone's got to die. You could either die for your sin, the penalty of sin is death, or you can accept Jesus' death for you. What's it going to be? Those are the only options. Today, as you sit here, Jesus is saying that to you. Either you're going to pay for your sin with your life and suffer in hell forever, that's the penalty, or you could say, no, Jesus, I don't want to pay with my own life. I want to surrender my life to you, because I see and realize and believe you paid the price for me completely. Now turn to Mark chapter 10, verse 45.
Well, I don't believe that Jesus died for our sins. I think that you just made that up. Did Jesus ever really say he was dying for our sins? I don't believe it. I think you just made it up.
Jesus speaking for himself. Chapter 10, verse 45. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Jesus says, I didn't come for you to serve me. I came to die for you. When Jesus was born in a manger, matter of fact, I heard someone say yesterday, if the wise men were wise women, they would have been on time. They would have cleaned up the manger, helped Mary with the birth, and they would have brought appropriate and practical gifts. But they would have messed the whole story up. Why? Because here were the gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, because he was a king. Frankincense, because he was a priest. And myrrh, because he was going to die. Myrrh, they used to embalm dead people. It's like bringing a little baby a coffin. Jesus was born to die. He was born for that very purpose, to die for your sin and my sin. And so when you die, unless you've asked Christ to take your life, unless you've asked Christ to forgive you of your sin and apply his debt on your sin, you're going to pay for yourself. You don't want to do that. You don't want to go to hell. You don't want your worst enemy to go to hell. We don't want you to go to hell. And here we are 10,000 years or so before today, 8,000 years or so before Christ, here you have a prophecy of He is all the elements of the curse, seven elements we looked at today. Jesus is going to nail them all to the cross and say, I'm paying a price because I'm going to redeem all everything. I'm going to redeem man. I'm going to redeem woman. I'm going to redeem the animal kingdom. I'm going to redeem the whole earth and make a new earth. I'm paying the price for the complete curse on the cross. Now it's up to you. What are you going to do? Are you going to accept me as your Savior? Are you going to allow me to pay the price and apply my payment for your sin, or are you going to pay for your sin on your own? Before we pray, let me encourage you, don't pay for your sin on your own. Because not only is he paying for your sin today that you can go to heaven when you die, he's paying for your sin today that your life can be changed now, that he can deliver you from stuff now. I used to use cocaine. I used to use cocaine regularly, smoke marijuana. And when I got saved, God says, I am going to rescue you from that. I'm going to teach you how to love people. I'm going to teach you how to be patient. I'm going to teach you how to encourage people. I'm going to teach you why I used you. I'm going to teach you how to use your big mouth for something good. God wants to do that for every single one of you. He wants to not only forgive you and give you entrance to heaven when you die, he wants to redeem you now, renew your mind now, give you a new heart now, give you a whole new purpose in life today, give you power to overcome your issues today. So he can walk with you by walking with you every day. That's why he died. And here it is in the Bible, in Genesis, in the very beginning. Genesis is the book of beginnings. Here's the beginning of God's plan of redemption for you and me. Let's take advantage of it. Amen? Let's all bow our heads and pray. Listen very carefully. Lord, we thank you that you died for our sin. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that your plan of salvation is complete and perfect. Lord, there are people here today who realize they're sinners. The Bible says everybody is. There are people today who realize you died for their sin. They realize that movie was simply telling the story of 2,000 years ago that was predicted thousands of years before that. And today they're saying, I want to be forgiven. I want to put my faith into action and receive Christ's forgiveness. I want to receive his payment for my sin. If that's you, pray with me in the privacy of your heart. But as you pray, you must believe these things to be true. You must have faith that these things be true. So pray with me if you would like to be forgiven this morning. Pray, dear God, I believe I'm a sinner and that my sin is wrong. I believe the penalty is death, eternal separation from God. But I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. I believe he rose from the dead, and I believe he loves me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Please come live in my heart and be my Savior. Right now, in this place. Thank you, Lord. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you pray that prayer to ask Jesus to be your Savior, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand up. In a minute I'm going to ask you to publicly, by standing, publicly confess, yes, I've given my life to Jesus. But if you prayed that prayer, you just told God, God, I've been wrong all my life and you've been right. I've been in need of a relationship with you all my life. And you just told God, God, I surrender my life to you today. I'm not going to worry about who's to my left or to my right. All I'm going to worry about is pleasing you. So right now, as our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you pray that prayer and you're saying today, God, here's my life, I want you to stand up to your feet right now and acknowledge God's forgiveness in your life. God bless you. Stay standing, please. God bless you. Good. If you're in the lobby in Casa Real, stand to your feet. God bless you. Good. We see you. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Stay standing, please. Good. God bless you. God bless you. Today, God is saying to you, I died and suffered for you. Don't waste my death. Don't waste this opportunity. God bless you. Anybody else? Stand to your feet. Good. God bless you. Now we're going to ask all you who are standing, whether you're here in the lobby or in Casa Real, as we welcome you to the family of God, we're going to ask you to come out of your seat and come on down to the altar and walk on down here. Let's give them a hand as they come on down. Who's a man? Who's a man? Come on down right here. Amen. Come on out of the lobby. God bless you. God bless you. Stay right here. God bless you. How you doing? Amen. God bless you. Stay right here. Here we go. Come on in from the lobby. God bless you. Come on down. God bless you. bless you. God bless you. Amen. The Bible says, if you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you. He doesn't trick us. He's forgiven. And he says he remembers it no more. He's forgotten everything you've ever done. Amen? Thank God for that. I was watching Forrest Gump yesterday. I love me some Forrest Gump. You know, the Bible says that unless we become like a little child, we will not enter the kingdom of heaven. He was that child. So simple, so loving, so humble, honest. And when he was in the army, remember the drill sergeant? Drill sergeant goes and says, "What is your purpose in life, Forrest Gump?" And he says, "Do everything you tell me to do, drill sergeant." You remember that? That's our purpose in life. Do everything God says. That's it. Just do everything God says. From here on in, you said, "Lord, here's my life." Your only job for the rest of your life, all of us too, is just do what God says. That's why I read the Bible. What does the Bible say? Why? That's why we pray. What does God want us to do? So from this point forward, if you could just focus on that, I gotta be obedient. You can't be obedient if you don't know the word, if you don't pray, if you don't watch what Christians do who are really walking with God, not the hypocrites who would say one thing and do another, the ones that are really walking with God. And how do you know that? They're doing this book. Okay? If they're talking about something else other than this book, walk away. They're doing this book. If you just do that, your life will change. Your life will change. It's as simple as that. Amen? Let's pray for them. Then y'all are going to follow this young lady right here. What's your name? Rachel, you're going to be our leader, okay? You're going to follow her. And they're going to take you over there. And they're going to give you some stuff. You got prizes like Price is Right. Lord, we thank you so much for these people. We thank you for their humility, for their obedience. We thank you for being so good to us. Bless them, Lord. Radically change their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you clap, next week, Chuck Missler is going to be with us. You know Chuck Missler? He's going to be here bringing the word. We're going to be out of Genesis, so be excited about that. You're going to make a right there. Let's give them a hand as they walk out. Who's the man?